Thank you. Thank you so much. Amen. Dr. Charles always used to say if he hated anything worse than an ovation, it was not getting one. And so, we're glad you're here this morning. Praise the Lord for the rain. Amen. We were on the way to church up in Canada the other night, and the pastor of the church was driving, and it was snowing real heavy, and he said, boy, I hope this snow doesn't keep anybody out of church. And I said, preacher, God's weather has never hurt God's work. Amen? Amen. Sure. I mean, if you wanted to get here this morning, you'd have got here. Right. Right. Rain or what, it doesn't matter. So the things that come into life, I hope you, you know, every day on my radio broadcast, I read a song, and so many people have commented, Brother Williams, you know, I get so much more out of it when it's read than when we sing it. We just sing and don't really notice the words often. You know, stayed upon Jehovah. I mean, concrete. I mean, your feet are welded there. You can't get away. And stayed upon Jehovah, not stayed upon Donald Trump or Ted Turner or the president or something else. Stayed upon Jehovah. And then it said that each trial or joy cometh from above. So often we're all for that till it comes. I think of a car wreck down outside of Atlanta, Georgia. A man that worked for me for 17 years, Brother Tom Manuel, called and was saying this 2 or 3 years ago. He said this lady stopped on the side of the road. Her car wouldn't run or something. It quit. And she opened the door. When she threw the door open, a truck hit the door. And it came back and just really broke her up. And with such force, it threw the door open on the, blew the door open on the other side of the car, and her little 9-year-old son was swept out with that and thrown down on the ground and injured. Boy, that looks like chaos, doesn't it? But you know, when they got her to the hospital and x-rayed her, they found a huge tumor that would have killed her very soon. They found it. It was taken care of. And the woman made it through. But it would have never happened if that hadn't have happened. And the little boy, when they were x-raying his body, they found a rare disease developing in him. They were able to catch it at a point where they defeated it. They said just a few months more and he would have lived with it the rest of his life, as long as he lived. And it wouldn't have been very long. Our God works His wonders in strange ways sometimes to help us, to encourage us, to challenge us, to see what we really believe. We sing a lot of things we don't believe. Standing on the promises, about all we ever do is sit on the premises, we sing throw out the lifeline and act like we're paralyzed. One guy said the Christians are equipped to go deep sea diving, but the biggest thing they ever do is pull stoppers out of bathtubs. So we need to really stand on the promises. They cannot fail when the howling storms of fear and doubt assail. Amen. All right, take your Bibles this morning, please, and we're going to turn to a very familiar portion of Scripture. Happy 70 to you. I'm sure the preacher's going to say something. Yeah, amen. There's somebody 70 years old. The preacher's going to get into that this morning, I'm sure. But I read that letter a couple of times about it, and I'm just excited about being part of the 70th anniversary. I tell you, praise the Lord, amen. And read how it got started. The preacher took us by the corner and showed us where you started out down there. We just thank God, Ms. Williams and I do, for being here. And I'll introduce Ms. Williams in the church service. For those of you who have not met my dear wife, always a joy to be with the Rogers. Praise the Lord for your pastor and for the assistants and the school and all that goes on here. We pray for you faithfully and thank you for faithfully praying for us and supporting our ministry. We appreciate that. Turn to Psalm 23 this morning. I thought, well, this church is 70 years old. Let's go back a little ways and get something here from the Bible that would challenge our hearts, bless our hearts, help us through these troubled times. Somebody said, oh my goodness, you know, what are we going to do now in this time? I mean, got so-and-so for, got President Obama for president, and we got this and we got that. Well, you know, the Bible says the powers that are ordained of God. And so you have to get mad at God. You know, I know the Democrats didn't elect Mr. Obama because there's just two kinds of people in the Bible, Republicans and sinners. I'm sorry, I remember now it's publicans. And I'm sorry, I misquoted that just a little bit. All right. Okay, good. Psalm 23. Okay, Psalm 23. Our Father, in the next little bit, flow out through these lips. I pray you will, unhindered, unbothered, unquenched. We ask that you would, and make it a blessing, make it a challenge, stir our hearts this morning from this great portion of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. In Psalm 23, the Bible is very positive, like it always is. I like that about the Bible. I like the absoluteness of the Bible. You know, God starts out His Word. He says, in the beginning, God. He doesn't try to prove Himself, doesn't try to say where He came from or anything. He just said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He didn't have to stop and spend 1,400 pages telling you how He did it. He just did it. He just did it. And the Bible says in Psalm 23:1, the Lord is. Didn't say the Lord might be. Didn't say the Lord maybe will be. Didn't say I suppose. You know, God wrote the whole Bible and never did say suppose one time. Never once. Never once. Here He said the Lord is. The Lord is. I like that. It didn't say, I hope He is, think He is, maybe He is, guess He is. He just said, the Lord is. And boy, we could stop there and preach a while. Just the Lord is. The Lord is. I tell people, He's the I am, not the I ain't. Amen? Yeah. There's a fellow out in Moscow, Idaho. In 1935, the year I was born, this guy came into being and he put a big I. I don't know, some of you real older people, and I got to watch who I call old, but he put a big I out like that, and they were still around when I got old enough to remember, and he was the great I am. And this eye would follow you all through the house. You know, you've seen pictures like that. No matter where you are, it's looking at you. And that's the way that eye was. And of course, he's dead, so he's the great I ain't. A lot of folks have come along, you know, over the years with all kinds of claims. But he said, the Lord is. And then he gets personal. My. That's a little pronoun I hope today that you can absolutely say without any wavering in your heart, without any wavering in your thoughts, the Lord is my. He's my shepherd. Amen. See, there isn't any question that the Lord is. There isn't any question that the Lord is shepherd. He is shepherd. He is shepherd. Jesus said in John 10:9, I am the shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. Peter calls Him the great shepherd. He is the shepherd. There isn't any question about He is that. But the question is He yours? Is He yours? Years and years ago, there was a man in America, and he had a photostatic mind. He could just quote anything that you ask him to quote. I mean, everything the man read just embedded itself immediately in his brain. He would go around the country then and get great audiences together. And people would say, quote Chaucer, and he would. And quote Longfellow, and he would. They'd say, quote the preamble of the Constitution, and he'd do that. And they'd say, quote the writers of the Station of Independence. descendants, you know, and all of this. Didn't matter what they asked, Shakespeare, whatever it was, he could quote it. And finally, in a great crowd one day, an old silver-haired gentleman stood up and he said, how about quoting the 23rd Psalm? And the man said, come up here, old-timer, would you? The man made his way through the audience and got up there and he said, now, I'll quote it if you will. He said, I'll go first. And with great eloquence, I mean, it just holds you spellbound, he quoted the 23rd Psalm eloquently. And then he said, your turn, sir. The old gray-headed gentleman stepped up and quoted the 23rd Psalm. When he got through, there wasn't a dry eye in the place. And the gentleman with a tremendous memory stepped up, slipped his arm around him and said this, ladies and gentlemen, I know the verse. I perceive we've heard from a man that knows the shepherd. Amen. Do you know the shepherd? Or did you just come to Sunday school or church and make some kind of a flippant choice or flippant decision? Or is he, can you say unwaveringly, teenager, unwaveringly, mom and dad, unwaveringly, young couple, can you say, he's my shepherd? Amen. He's my shepherd. Do you know why we wear the wedding ring on this finger instead of this one or in our nose or somewhere? Do you know why? This is the heart finger. And this is the only finger that you have where a nerve runs straight to the heart. And that's why they put the wedding ring on this finger, because we say, I love you with all my toes, right? No, we say, I love you with all my heart. Yeah, and so that's why we do this. Well, there was a Sunday school teacher years and years ago, this is how she taught boys and girls. And one morning, a little fellow that never had been to Sunday school came, and he was sitting in class, and she did this. She said, went to the 23rd Psalm in verse 1, and she said, now, children, I want to teach you something today. And she said, this thumb is the, okay? And then this is Lord, and this one is called is, and this one is called shepherd, and she skipped the heart finger. She said, this is called shepherd. Now she said, we're going to go over it again and put it together right. The Lord is my. And she said, I want you to hold that in your little hand like that and say, the Lord is my shepherd. And the Sunday school was over, and the little boy was going to go back home, one of those freak snowstorms like can happen in Colorado or out in Montana. I mean, there's nothing, and then all of a sudden, there's a blizzard. I mean, just almost instantly, and I mean instantly, I was up hunting several years ago in Wyoming on top of the what they call the Beaver Flat Tops, and we were up there around 10,500, almost 11,000 feet. Just walking along with our horses, there were seven of us, and all of a sudden a huge black cloud rose up. Just almost minutes, we were standing in a 70-mile-an-hour blizzard. I said to the guide, I said, you're lost. He said, shh, I don't want the other men to know it. He said, I don't know where we are. And it was frightening because we were trying to hide behind the horses in the 70-mile-an-hour wind, and you're still freezing. And so anyway, well, we got out of that, or I wouldn't be here. But, you know, this little boy started home, and one of those freak snowstorms came up. And the little fella got over in the ditch and kind of tried to hug up next to where the bank kind of came out a little bit, and that's where they found him the next day. He didn't make it home, and his folks had no idea. They didn't go to church, and they finally dug him out of the snowbank, and when they did, here he was, Are you sure? Absolutely sure. He's your shepherd. He's your shepherd. I honestly believe, dear folk, we're coming to a time in America very, very quickly where you're going to have to know without question, He's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. So we see in the beginning here that, number one, possession. Possession. He's mine. He's mine. I possess Jesus Christ as my shepherd. I have that. I own that. I possess that. It's mine. And then we see the provision. Shall not want. Shall not want. One little fellow, you know how kids get songs mixed up. Sometimes it turns out really, really funny. I was working in a church early on in my life, right after I'd gotten saved out in Southern California at Pioneer Baptist Church, and they put me over junior church, or what we call now children's church. And I said, okay, let's have a song request this morning. And one little boy raised his hand. He said, I want to sing that song about that bear. And I said, son, we don't sing about bears in church. He said, we do too. You know, gladly, the cross-eyed bear. And I said, yeah, well, that ain't exactly how that is, you know. But they get so buzzed up about that. I remember, you know, I grew up in a home split spiritually, not physically, thank God. My dad wasn't a Christian. My mother was. And she'd get us to Sunday school often as she could. And we lived way, way out in the country. And a preacher only came on fifth Sundays. I don't know if you know what that means or not. But some months have five Sundays. And we only got a preacher at our little country church on every... If a month had five Sundays, we got him the fifth Sunday. And that's not very often. And my mother, she would take us as much good. And I remember a song. Many of you folks probably remember this old song, Cheer Up, My Brother, Live in the Sunshine. You know, we'll understand it all by and by. And so forth. Called Father Along, we'll know all about it. Well, that's close anyway. But I thought for years... I got saved at my 20th and 21st birthday, and I still thought that. I thought Cheer Up was the brother to this guy that wrote the song. You know, cheer up, my brother. Yeah. So things are not what they always seem, and kids get that mixed up. And this one little boy, he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I cannot want. And that's pretty good. That's pretty good. How can you want when Christ is your shepherd? He's not just all. He should be our all in all. And today, do you really possess Him? And do you lean on the everlasting arm as your provision? When your provision. You know, when Ms. Williams and I moved off the ranch in Montana, we didn't have a whole lot to move off with. So one guy over in Oregon said, a preacher over there, he called me and he said, okay, you're 77 years old and broke. He said, what are you going to do now? Oh, I said, I still got God. You know, I mean, does God die when circumstances come? Does God go out of business just because things look bleak like they do today? And it's so many people losing their pensions and losing their jobs, and people who retired years ago, the retirement is not halfway near enough for the cost of things today. Cannot God make the difference? The Jews in the wilderness said, Can God provide a table in the wilderness? Yes, He sure can. He sure did. You know, manna for 40 years for 2.5 million Jews. That's a pretty big crowd. That's taking the whole Los Angeles Valley almost and feeding them three meals a day. And God did that. God did that. Their shoes never wore out. Their clothes never wore out. Can God meet my needs, Brother Williams? Can God meet my needs? I'm a single parent. Can God meet my needs? We acted foolishly and ran up the credit cards and all of this. Can God bail us out? Can God get us through this thing? Yes, God can. God can. He said, I shall not want. And then notice what he said in verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know, sometimes where God's trying to get you to lie down is a real good place. Real good place. Quit trying to get someplace when God's saying, no, lie down. Lie down, lie down. Some boys over in World War II lost their life in foxholes because they wouldn't stay down when they were supposed to. And so let me just say to you that God said he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. See, I don't know how much you know about shepherds and sheep, but sheep will not drink from running water. Now, horses will, cows will, but not sheep. And sheep have to have water that's still. So the shepherd would take his rod or his shepherd's crook, and he'd begin at the stream, and he'd begin to dig a ditch through the mud and through the grass out here, and the water would then be running out here, and it would make a pool of water, and the sheep would drink. And the psalmist here is saying that he brings peace. Not only provision, not only possession, but peace. God gives peace. He said, I'll give you a peace that passeth understanding. The preacher and I were just joking around up here a little bit while ago. And I said, preacher, people are worried today because they're not worried. You know, so many people, if they're not worried, they worry about why they're not worried. Just leave that with God, okay? Just leave it with God. Oh, you say it's just too good right now. Preacher, something going to happen. Yeah, something going to happen, but God will be there. God will be there. And it's like a little Sunday school boy coming home from Sunday school one day, and he was kicking a rock and checking out some bird nests. And a fellow who lived close to the road was watching this little fellow. And when he got up even with his house, he said, hey, boy, come here, son, come here. And the little fellow went over there, and the guy said, why are you so happy and all of that? Oh, he said, I've been to Sunday school. He said, well, what'd you learn? Well, he said, I learned about God. Oh, he said, just a minute. And he reached in his pocket and got a nice shiny quarter out, and he said, I'll give you this quarter if you'll tell me where God is. And the little fellow reached in his pocket and pulled out a dollar, and he said, I'll give you a dollar if you tell me where he ain't. Amen. Yeah, see, you're not going to get away from God. You can't outrun God. You're not going to get in so much trouble God can't help you. Yeah, that's pretty good preaching. Amen. Now, I'm going to change my name to Ben so I can say amen, Ben. Wake up. Amen. God's on the throne. Yeah, he is. Never leaves us alone. Praise his holy name. He said, I'll give you a peace that passeth understanding beside the still waters. I'll quieten the storm. We sang a while ago, he's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He'll lift you out of the water and all. And he will, and he does. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restoreth my soul. Pardon. He gives a pardon. Boy, I've been pardoned. I don't know if you know what that means or not. I've been pardoned. Can you imagine a man down here on death row, and just at the last hour, the warden comes and said, the governor has pardoned you. He has pardoned you. Man, can you even begin to try to understand in that man's heart what's happening and the joy that's exploding in his soul? And the psalmist said, he restoreth my soul. He pardons me. He welcomes me back. He takes me back, even though I've disappointed him, even though I have sinned. And God takes me back, and God gives a pardon. You know, I have tried. Some of you remember the Watergate situation with Mr. Nixon. As when Gerald Ford then became president in Mr. Nixon's place, we find that wasn't very long until he pardoned Richard Nixon. And I've thought and thought and thought. I've tried to put myself in Mr. Nixon's place. And the day that that telegram was brought, that overnight letter, that thing from the very president of our country, and it came to the door of the former President Nixon's house. And when he opened the door and that courier handed to him that letter, that packet, it contained a full pardon for him. And I've tried to think of the joy, of the exceeding gladness that his name would not go down in the history books as it were, and a man that had been taken from office in our country, but he had been pardoned. And oh, when they wipe the slate clean like that, there's just nothing like it. And the Lord Jesus Christ took me, like he did David, out of a horrible pit. And he set my feet on a solid rock. And he put a new song in my mouth. And even praise unto my God. Oh, I tell you, when I stop and just think of where I was and what I was when God found me and saved me and liberated me and set me free and presented me before his Father, justified forever, I want you to understand, he said, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He said, I walk. You see, shepherds, if you see somebody driving sheep over in the east, they are butchers. They're butchers. Shepherds lead, butchers drive. And here David said, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I don't know if you've ever been to Israel and toured the country, but they have over there cliffs 400 or 500 feet high. They're amazing, amazing, amazing. And they're so close together, the sun hardly ever, just maybe a sliver of sun will get down in there. And over the years, the wind has carved out way back under the walls of those things. And the bandits, the robbers, men like Barabbas and others, would hide back up under there. And then when the shepherds would come through with their sheep, they'd waylay the shepherd and steal the sheep. And David knew that. He knew that sometimes lions lurked under there and bears lurked under there. You remember David killed a bear with his hands. He killed a lion with his staff. And he killed the giant with a rock. Amen. Amen. So there was great danger in going from one pasture through this little narrow valley over to the next pasture. And David said, though I walk, he knew, if I run, I'll lose the sheep. If I run, I may get away, but the sheep won't. And he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I know you're there. And he said, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So he's our protection. He's our protection. You know what David wrote later on? He said, nobody can make me lie down in peace and safety but God. Oh, you say, preacher, we have a burglar alarm. Do you know how easy those things are unwired? Do you know how easy it is for them to come up to your house on the outside and just clip the telephone wire that carries the electricity to that, or some other simple way? You know, your house is only as safe as the weakest device. Yeah, you say, wow, you know, we got them on every door. How about every window? Oh, no, but they can't get in the window. No, they just take a little glass cutter and cut out a piece of window and reach in there and unplug the thing. You say, oh, boy, you're scaring me. No, I'm just being honest with you. Look, you're not safe unless God keeps you. Amen. You're not safe unless God keeps you. And David said, I'm going to walk through the valley for the sheep's sake. And he said, but thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They bring comfort to me. My wife and I, on our bed at home, on a good cold night, we pull up the comforter. The comforter, you know, that big thick thing. And whoo, it's so nice. And you just pull it up right under here because you want that cool air, to breathe all night and just feels good on your face. But boy, you bring it up here, you know. You say, well, preacher, we have electric blanket. I tell you, one of the funniest things that ever happened in my life happened with electric blanket. I had been asked years and years ago to preach up at just north of San Francisco, and a very wealthy couple that the pastor put me in their home, and he and his wife's bedroom was down this hall about two or three rooms from where I was staying. And I heard the awfulest fuss I ever heard in my life. He'd say, I'm taking you to the hospital. There's something wrong with you. And she said, well, you're going with me because something else is wrong with you. And they were going back and forth. Well, that day they had bought an electric blanket and put it on the bed. And it was one of those dual control things. And they got the control switched. And he was turning her heat up and she was turning his down. He was freezing and she was burning up. And the colder he got, the more juice he gave. And directly, I heard the greatest laugh in my life. They were sitting on the edge of the bed, I guess, just, oh, brother, I wonder what the preacher thinks. I got my robe on, they got theirs on, and they told me what happened, and I could hardly go back to sleep. I was laughing so hard. So what's your electric blanket? It might cause a divorce, okay? And a comfort will just cause you to snuggle. Yeah, amen. And snuggling is better than anything else. Amen? Yeah, amen. For you guys that stay up at night and play computer when your wife goes to bed, you need to see a doctor, amen? That's preaching, brother. Amen. Now, he said, so he's our protection. And then he said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. In the presence of mine enemies. He said, you prepare a presence for me right where folks would destroy me. Right where folks would do me in. And what happened was David and every other Oriental shepherd would carry a goatskin bag on their side, and they would pour that full of hog fat. Now, sheep hate the smell of hogs. They hate them. They would take this hog fat, and of course it would be melted in the bag, and they would go up in these little green pastures where they were taking their sheep, and they would put the sheep here, and the sheep dogs would keep them from coming on in, and they would go up there and they would find these little vipers' holes, very poisonous snakes, same ones that bit Israel and they died. They would be up there, and David would go up and put a ring of hog fat around each one of these viper holes, and the sheep would start grazing then, and when they got close to that hole, they would raise their head up just this side of the hog fat. And the little viper is just waiting and waiting and waiting in there like a cat, deathly still, waiting on a mouse to move or something, you know. And all of a sudden, when the sheep raised their head, he would just get mad, and he would come up out of the hole, gonna get him anyway, and then he'd get in the hog fat. And then he couldn't go anywhere. He'd just spin his gears, you know, and he'd wrestle around there and try to crawl, and he couldn't. And that sheep would stand there and eat right in the presence of the viper, and the viper couldn't do a thing. Do you understand this morning that the devil cannot bother you 1 ounce unless God lets him? He has to go to heaven and get permission to bother the people of God, just like he did Job in the Old Testament. And you know, that's why God, right at the end of the Bible, said, remember the patience of Job. Remember, Job waited on God. He waited on God because God had prepared everything for him. He said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Oh, how many of us? How many of us? There's not a person in this building this morning that couldn't say, praise God for his goodness. Praise God for his goodness. He's been so good to me. Boy, you could just think of 1,000 things if you just stop and take the time of how good God is. Two old boys in Tennessee were talking, and one of them said, boy, God's good. And the other one said, he can't help it. Yeah, amen. That's just the way he is. He's just good. He's just good. It rains on the what? Just and unjust. Do you know the rain will make the wickedest farmer's crop grow just like it does the most righteous one? How good God is. How good God is. And so we need to praise him in verse 5. And then in verse 6, and I hate to hurry, but I must. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Two things are quickly. One, see the partnership. See the partnership back in verse 5. Rod and staff. Rod and staff, they both team up together to protect us and to help us. And then down here in verse 6, there's another team. One of them's called goodness. The other one's called mercy. And they team up. They team up to help us all the way to heaven, all the way through salvation to glory. Mercy and goodness follow us. They follow us. I look around once in a while. You'll see them. You'll see goodness following you. You'll see mercy following you because God has got you headed for paradise. For paradise. You see, I'm on my way. Are you on your way?
Amen.
Oh, I hope you are. I hope you can say, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I'm just passing through. Come on, preacher. Would you please?
Let's all stand. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. God's speaking to your heart. You want to come and pray about something? Let's go ahead and come right now. God's speaking to your heart. You want to pray about something? You have a decision to make. Come on right now. Right now. Right now. You don't have to have music. You don't need music. Just come. Just come. You want to pray about something? The altar's open. God's spoken to your heart about something. You come right now. Kneel at the altar. Pray about your decision. Whatever it is, God's spoken to your heart about something tonight, this morning. You come right now. Right now. God's speaking to your heart. Come on. Come on. Father, please bless. Help folks to make decisions. Thank you so much for being our shepherd. Thank you for taking care of every need we could ever have. You know the need before we ever ask it. Thank you for taking care of that. And I pray we'll make the decisions we ought to make now in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You need to come. Come on. Come on. It's something you need to pray about. God's speaking to your heart. God's speaking to your heart. Alicia, come and play the piano for us, all right? If there's something you want to pray about, you come. Still got a couple of minutes. Don't ever want to close if there's a decision somebody needs to make. Amen. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Amen. Any others need to come? One more verse. Amen. Amen. Look up this way, please. Great Sunday school truth. And what a blessing. Appreciate that, Brother Williams. And it was good. I was thinking about songs as he was talking about songs that we thought we knew the words. How many of you remember, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God? You remember that song? A little chorus. We used to sing it when I first got saved. And I remember him singing that over and over again. And where it says, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel along, I thought it was join hands with Jesus. I sung it that way for years. Join hands with Jesus as we travel. And I'll never forget the first time I saw what it was supposed to be. And I thought, you know, I mean, you just turn red because all those times, you know, people are. Anyway, so we all have those songs. Amen. All right. Well, we'll have our morning service here in just a few minutes. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, thank you again for all that you do for us. And thank you for being our shepherd. And I pray that not one person would leave here today who is not sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are their shepherd. I pray people get saved and lives will be changed today in Jesus' name.